Inside Mac.
Welcome to the Inside Mac radio program. We take a lighthearted look at all things Macintosh. The Inside Mac radio show is brought to you by Micromat, makers of TechTool Pro 4, the preferred disk and system utility for Mac OS X, and the brand new hardware solution, Protégé. You can check them out at micromat.com. DVD-XDV for the coolest software to take DVD content off a DVD and bring it into QuickTime. Check them out, DVDXDV.com. Lynda.com for your coolest place for online training. Over 11,000 titles. Tons of great stuff. All QuickTime movies you can view right on your computer and learn and have fun. Check them out at Lynda, LYNDA.com. MCE Technologies, the place to upgrade your PowerBook to a new SuperDrive, your G4, your G5, 16X dual-layer memory. You can even get PowerBooks from their Apple-authorized resellers. You can pick up your new MacBook Pro. MCETech.com. And our media partners, Printing for Less, the official printer of the Inside Mac radio show. Creator Pro, the place to go for creative tips, tricks, information. Great stuff there at creatorpro.com. And the digital production buzz of Philip Hodgetts, the official news source of Inside Mac, Mac Minute. And for all the software updates, you can go to macupdate.com. How you doing today, Brad?
I'm doing great, Scott. It's cool. It's a great day outside. We got the sun's back, and things are great out here in San Francisco. It looks just fabulous outside. It's been raining for the last couple of weeks, and so now we're getting some sun, and summer just feels like it's right around the corner now.
It is. It's nice out. It's very cool.
It's very nice.
You know, there's an interesting story that came out today from Reuters.
Mm-hmm.
Was Apple iTunes is going to sell monthly subscriptions to shows.
Oh, the subscription model is not dead yet. Wow.
It says Apple Computer Incorporated, iTunes Music and Video Store, on Wednesday took the first step towards monthly subscription model with a new series called MultiPass that lets users buy TV shows on a monthly basis.
Yeah, well, that seems to be about right. I mean, that's really, really a nice thing to have, because $2 an episode could get pretty pricey. You know, you basically, if you could get a little bit of a price break, that would be nice. What's the price break?
It says iTunes is launching a service in partnership with Viacom.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually Comedy Central's network, which is rolling out The Daily Show with Jon Stewart and The Colbert Report on a service. Fans will be able to buy the new monthly service series of 16 new episodes via MultiPass for $9.99 or pay $1.99 per episode. 4 episodes air each week, and viewers can download each episode after it's been broadcast.
So let's see. So The Daily Show. So basically, rather than pay $2 for The Daily Show, you can basically get a whole month of The Daily Show. That's a great deal. That's smoking. I mean, I'd $10 a month. That's not bad at all. That's a great deal. And that actually wasn't CBS the holdout for now. I mean, they had their own site, and they weren't going to go with iTunes. They had produced their own content. ABC, of course, got on board. Bravo got on board. We haven't seen all of the shows from NBC yet, but it's starting to click over. And I think CBS had their own website, wasn't that right?
Yeah.
And they weren't getting on board, but now they're on board. That's got to be great news for TV fans, because now you can basically just take all your, you know, you don't have to wait for, you basically just take the, you don't have to stay up late for the show. You can just, especially The Daily Show, which is on pretty late. Now you can just take the show to go, and you're ready to go.
Yeah, it's pretty cool stuff. So we'll have to look deeper into that here. I'm going to do some more digging on iTunes, but cool.
Oh, very cool. Yeah. Oh, very nice. Oh, yeah.
Because people have been wanting The Daily Show bad.
Oh, I love The Daily Show. That's one of my favorite shows on television. That's just great. Every night, it's one of the best shows on the air.
Yeah, it's cool stuff. So there's another happy thing for the iTunes Music Store to get some great content on your iPod video.
Oh, yes. This is really starting to shape up, and especially with things like Front Row. I mean, now you can basically just, you know, you can get all of your shows. You don't have to, you know, do them any other way. They're just great.
Front Row does rock. So check that out. You can check that out at apple.com or iTunes.com. You're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. Next up, we're going to have Philip Hodgetts with the Digital Production Buzz, weekly post news information and commentary. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to unleash the power of DVD? With DVD-XDV, the power is within your grasp. DVD-XDV converts your DVDs into broadcast-quality video. Video clips from DVD-XDV are ready to use in iMovie, iDVD, or Final Cut Pro. To learn more, Visit DVDXDV.com. Inside your life.
Business.
Your home.
Inside your world.
This is Inside Mac with Scott Shepard.
With Scott Shepard.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. You're here with Scott Shepard and Brad Wright. We're talking about all things Mac. Coming up here, we're going to have Philip Hodges doing the digital production buzz news. And on the rest of the show, we're going to have Andy Shallett here doing Mac design out of the box. Sam Love is going to be doing his cool Mac picks. We're going to have the legendary Adam Engston from Tidbits. Later on in the show, we're going to have Apple Computer with us talking about iWork 06.
The awesome iWork.
Yeah, so cool stuff there. But right now, let's go to our buddy Philip Hodges, the digital production buzzmeister. How you doing, Philip?
I'm terrific, Scott. I work every day.
You do. Now, did you see, you know, we're going to talk about, you did a very cool article this week of the studios and TV stuff. Did you see now that The Daily Show with Jon Stewart and another show has this thing called MultiPass in the iTunes Music Store?
No, that was a new one on me.
Yeah, you can actually get like The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. It's $9.99 for the month, and you get 16 episodes for $10. It's a subscription.
Oh, that's starting to talk to sensible numbers.
Right, so if you dig on The Daily Show, you get 16 episodes for $10.
You know, you think about it, it is The Daily Show, so yeah, it would cost you, I mean, it'd be a lot of episodes. You'd basically be paying $32 a month. Now you're only paying...
I like the show, but I'm not prepared to pay $32 a month for it when Comedy Central comes up on my cable system, if I had one, which I don't anymore, but for like... $1.60 a month.
Right, but they have the other thing called the Colbert Report. This is also on, and it's same thing, 16 episodes for $10.
I think that's still a little on the high side. I think I'm actually prepared to spend up to 25 cents. So that takes me up to about like $4. I'm halfway there. But we've come halfway.
Yeah, but... think a lot of guys don't have a TV. You know, I did an interview with Hillman Curtis, the legendary designer cat. He doesn't have a TV. He hasn't had one for 15 years. But what if he wanted to watch The Daily Show?
Yeah,
that he probably doesn't even know about because he doesn't have a TV. So why would it matter? But you could, in theory.
He doesn't actually have to have an iTunes account for that. I mean, we probably shouldn't talk too much about it. But there are other ways of getting that programming, and you can even subscribe to RSS feeds that provide it for you automatically.
This is true, and I hear there's going to be some information on this here coming pretty soon. So we'll have to talk about that when all this comes to the light.
Since we did the move, I've been seriously wondering where the role for those channels is, because we have decided not, for a number of reasons, not to get satellite and not to get cable, and yet we're not missing out on any programming. Nope. And I think there's, you know, the roles for the aggregators, the middleman. I mean, it's almost like a cultural obsession in the U.S. is to get rid of the middleman, disintermediation, if you want a fancy word for it. But always those mediaries did an important job. You know, there was a time when networks were the only way that the channel between the content provider and the content consumer was provided by the networks who aggregated the advertisers to pay for that.
Well, I mean, the one thing you think about is that basically by going to a direct model, the people that actually subscribe and watch the shows have a little bit more power over the content.
Yeah.
So that's kind of nice. I mean, I don't think the middleman should go away completely, but I think that having people being able to vote for their favorite show by watching it, downloading it, and paying for it, I think is a really good thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, you look at the record industry, because this is the one that's furthest along on this cycle that I see happening. Now, when they started out, they did four things for the artist. You know, the cost of recording was high, so they advanced the money and then charged it back against the advance to actually go into the studio and record, because studios and recording gear was expensive.
Mm-hmm.
The cost of producing a record was expensive. You know, you couldn't create vinyl for 20 cents a copy. You know, you had to go in, you had to do a massive run. It was expensive to create that. Distribution was expensive. You couldn't get your independent vinyl, even if you got it recorded and pressed, you couldn't get it into the stores to sell it. You might sell it to, you know, 100 of your closest friends and their parents. But it wasn't going to be that successful. And promotion was expensive. You know, you simply had to get the word out. Even if you got it all distributed, nobody ever heard of you, there was no demand. But let's look, you know, what's happened over the last, you know, 10 or 15 years in audio? The cost of recording has dropped to pretty much zero.
Yeah.
You know, instead of $100,000 to do an album, or $300,000, if you spend $10,000, you've been generous and you've probably gone into one of the proliferation of studios that are around, you know, where I live, for $20, $30, $40 an hour. So that's strike one. Strike two is the cost of, you know, producing 1,000 CDs replicated, ready, retail ready, is, you know, under $1 a CD. And if you can't afford that, well, burn them and print them yourself, because that's really inexpensive. Just, you know, as you get an order, sell one, but create one.
Mm-hmm.
Then the distribution. Well, we've got this thing called the internet. And this is, you know, starting to get into the record label's biggest nightmares, because they have no control over that anymore. and it's possible that a band or a recording artist could distribute their music free in order to promote their concert and live performances, because that's where the profit has always been for an artist.
Yeah, I believe for a very nominal fee, there's a service called CD Baby, and you can sign up for it, and you can get your song on iTunes. Of course, there's the promotion side of it, and promotion is really always going to be the most difficult thing, but now it's kind of up to the artist to be able to do it. They pretty much have to do it themselves.
Have you dropped into MySpace lately?
Oh, yeah. That's like the Band Central, I think.
MySpace like, music, yes. I mean, it's the whole idea of, you know, what's the best type of advertising you can have? I believe it was always word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where these social networking sites, Friendster, MySpace, all of those are becoming this word of mouth. They've replaced the DJ who introduced you to cool new music because he got paid off by somebody.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And how much did Rupert Murdoch just pay for MySpace? Some huge, monstrous deal. So
$600 million or something, you know, not something... It's not cash for Rupert, but anyway.
Yeah,
but that just shows that, I mean, look at the power of social engineering, social networking.
Oh, that's the final penny in this network. It's an amazing thing. I've written a whole blog article. You can find that at philiphodgetts.com and just really check it out and see what the economics would work for a particular show. I actually chose The Daily Show as my example. And for 10 cents an episode, you can probably double or triple The Daily Show's income.
Yeah, and there's also an article that just hit on Ad Age that says basically broadcast networks like ABC are selling some of their most popular shows on Apple's iTunes for $1.99. But a new study finds that most consumers would be willing to watch an ad if the sponsor picked up the cost of the show.
Absolutely. And if you want some more thinking on that, you should check out a thing called hyperdistribution. Just type that into Google. There's an Australian academic called Mark Pesky who's been talking about that. And it's you know, the model of advertisers directly sponsoring the show back in the soap opera days. Distributing via BitTorrent could be a viable alternative to even the direct pay. They're definitely looking for change coming up. It's going to be changing a lot. You know, the company could buy a full show, distribute it free. They're going to be the only message that comes in that if it's like a car company. You know, every car in the show is going to be a Ford. Every ad is going to be for a Ford. You know, and it's going to cost them less than putting one ad on a network show. So you tie that up with, you know, Las Vegas, for example, and voila, much more effective for the cost-effective for the viewer, much more cost-effective for the advertiser. And what's the role for the middleman? I don't know.
Yes, that's right. Networks and cable companies are being sort of targeted right now. I mean, if you think about it, is that with iTunes and with product placement inside the actual show, there is less revenue that's going to be going to these networks. That's
very interesting. We are going to see some massive changes coming up. It's just in the early days of this. You look at the record industry, that's a bit further along. The movie and television industries are going to follow.
That's it. And there you go, the vision from the visionary himself, Philip Hodges, the technologist of the new millennium. Check him out at digitalproductionbuzz.com, or you can read that great article on his blog at philiphodgetts.com. Thank you, Philip. You're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. Next up here, we have Andy Shallett with his Mac Design Tip of the Week. We'll be right back. You want to learn all the great software on your Macintosh and get up to speed instantly? Well, you need to check out Lynda.com. Lynda.com is an educational website that offers online movie training 24/7 on Flash, Photoshop, Dreamweaver, Illustrator, After Effects, and 160 other topics. Subscribe and learn from over 11,000 tutorials for as low as $25 a month. Visit Lynda, that's Lynda.com, to check out hundreds of free sample training movies and more.
Momentum for your Macintosh. Scott Shepard is Inside Mac.
Wish to leave a record of your call.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by Micromat, the creators of Protégé, the FireWire-based hard drive replaceable solid-state. Boot your Mac off it, fix it, back and running, no time. Check it out, micromat.com. Right now we're here with Andrew Shallett. Andy is the author of the Mac Design Out of the Box book from Peach Pit Press and Inside Mac Press. And Andy's got a tip of the week that's pretty interesting, actually.
No, actually, it's a cautionary tale this week.
A cautionary tale, I love that. It's so okay. Mac, too.
Here's our cautionary tale. You know, in design, as in most things that have deadlines, there's a phrase that we use that says, "We're in a hurry, so take your time." Is that, you know, if you're designing something and you've got that brochure and you've got to make sure to dot the I's and cross the T's, you take your time, even though that deadline is looming. Well, just the other day, a friend of mine was in a rush trying to make a plane. And he had his power book, his 12-inch aluminum power book in his side pack there. And he was in a hurry. He was hungry. He hadn't eaten breakfast. So he threw a banana inside his pack, and he was just about to lose the plane. He threw his power book inside the pack, and he had a meeting of, well, I guess you can say apples and bananas. And apples and bananas don't mix. His banana, his ate up the grill, went right up the grill of his power book. And he didn't know about it till he got out, he got home.
Oh.
Another 2 hour flight or something. And it started to smell because, you know, the power book was always on sleep. It was not off, so it was heating it up.
Oh, he had fried his banana with his power book.
and reciprocally, he fried his power book with his banana. Because what happened was his video, because of where it's situated, the video card just fried. And he took it to the Apple store, and they looked at it, and they thought he was joking. He said, I got a banana stuck in my power book, and they laughed at him.
Sounds like a punchline.
Yeah, exactly. He said, no, guys, I'm serious. And he opened it up, and they could smell the fried banana. And they said, oh, man, we've never seen something like this. So they looked at it, and they said, you know, it's going to cost you about $1,200. And so he said, well, for $1,200, I might as well just wait another month. I'll wait till they come out with the new 12-inch MacTel. So in the meantime, though, he brought it over to me because he knows I'm one of those geeks that likes to take things apart. So he asked me if I could do it, and I thought, sure, what a great challenge. I got onto iFixit.com, which is a great little site. Are you familiar with that place?
No.
It's iFixit.com. They sell parts, but more than that, they have instructions for how to take apart your power book, and they're beautifully done. So they have PDFs and things, and it's HTML, and I have certain methods to do this where I print out the pages of the PDF, and when I'm taking out the screws, because there are about 3,000 screws in a little power book, and I tape them onto the spaces of the pictures so you know where they go back. Because in the power book, when you take them apart, every screw is a slightly different size. They really make it difficult. It's not like the old days, not like the titanium days. So I took it apart, and I used rubbing alcohol and Q-tips and an air blower, and I cleaned out most of the fried banana, although I still think he's going to be getting banana split smells for as long as he has his computer. Unfortunately, it's fried, and so he's going to have to do something about his display. And I realize that because the board itself is okay, I think, because the output to a video, to VGA, works fine. I put the adapter on so I can look at what's on his hard drive and everything's intact, but his apples and bananas don't mix.
Oh, what a good tip. Don't pack your lunch in your PowerBook bag.
Don't quit. Take your time. Think about what you're doing.
That's it. Hey, thank you. That was Andy Shallett, author of Mac Design Out of the Box. You can check it out at andrewshallett.com. We'll be right back.
Good morning, my good fellow. Welcome to Smith's Computer and Robot Repair. How may I be of service?
Yes, my Mac has crashed. Big time. I was about to save the annual report when...
My systems are not operating correctly, Tech Tool will always find the problem.
Excuse me.
Quiet, you platinum-plated nincompoop.
I'm sorry. You were saying?
Anyway, my Mac totally crashed, and if I don't get this data back, my boss is gonna freak.
If it were not for Tech Tool Pro, my memory banks would have been lost in...
Silence, you motorized monstrosity!
It is not necessary that I stay here and be insulted.
Wait, robot, don't go. Are you telling me this Tech Tool Pro software can save me a trip to the repair shop?
Affirmative. I kid you not.
Don't listen to him, sir. No software product can match the technical skill and computer savvy of Smith's Computer and Robot Repair.
Baloney. That does not compute.
So, robot, where can I get this Tech Tool Pro?
From Micromat in Windsor, California.
Excellent. Thanks for the info.
You are welcome.
Find out more about Tech Tool Pro by visiting Micromat.com.
I need a vacation.
Informal, informative,
in front of the industry.
Inside Mac is on. Call Scott now at 800-490-0058 or email us at radio@insidemac.com. Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio program, and this part of the Inside Mac Radio show is brought to you by DVDXDV. So if you want to take that content off of DVD, bring it into QuickTime, iMovie, Final Cut Express, Final Cut Pro, Avid Express, Avid Nitro System, you name it, you can do it. Check it out at DVDXDV.com. So we have right now Sam Levin, the purveyor of the cool Mac pick segment on Inside Mac Show. How you doing, Sammy?
Fantastic, Scott. Man, I am on a rant today, guys, on bags and cases.
No.
I'll tell you why I'm on a rant, because they came out with the iPod Hi-Fi, and we all know that's the speaker.
That needs a case like there's no tomorrow.
Okay. It does, but it, you know, some people say, well, you're not going to carry it around like a boombox. Okay, granted, you're not. You just spent 350 clams. You're going to carry your iPod. You're going to, that's another 300 to 400 for the iPod. You've got now 700 invested, possible cables, a remote. Okay, you're just going to lug that and throw that into your car? No. So, I've been asking the case guys, namely Timbuktu, Waterfield Designs, guys, come up to the bat and create something cool. Well, this week I got confirmation that Waterfield is going to make a killer bag for it. And so, if you guys know what Waterfield is, they make some amazing messenger bags, ballistic nylon. These bags are beautiful. Now, I don't know what it's going to look like, but if you go to SF, as in San Francisco Bags.com, go look at their bags, and you'll get a feel of how this will look. They already make a Mac Mini bag. Mm. So, there's something there that probably is going to take form and shape for the iPod Hi-Fi, but I told them, guys, put a strap, put a handle, put places to put your iPod and cabling. Anyway, keep on the lookout for a bag that's going to come out for the iPod Hi-Fi. Actually, Playlist already got the scoop on this. They actually said that they talked to him, and Gary said he's going to make a bag. So keep an eye out for that. But on that note, Timbuktu makes great bags too, and they've come out with a new version of the Messenger laptop bag. It's got a handle, it's got a place for your laptop. If you're into messenger-type bags, this is it. Check it out at Timbuktu.com. So those are the two bag companies I'm going to rant to get them to make iPod Hi-Fi cases. So we'll see whoever comes out first with the bag wins.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think that it is, you know, although it's a great system, the iPod Hi-Fi, it carrying it just doesn't feel right. It needs sort of a strap or something. It needs a bag. Like there's, it definitely needs a bag.
And possibly play through so that there's grills on it, so that you can leave it in the bag,
carry
it to your buddy's house and play.
Oh yeah, absolutely. That's the only way to do it. It's going to be fantastic once that thing is in a bag. It's
right. So actually, if you, Bose came out with a bag to carry the sound dock, and it's kind of funny because Bose is not battery powered. That's the difference. The iPod Hi-Fi you can use with batteries, where the Bose you can't. But they've come out with their own. So, hey, if Bose can do it, then all the rest of the people can do it as well. I suspect it's going to be pretty sweet. Waterfield only makes high prestige, all hand-built, by the way, all hand-stitched in San Francisco. So just check it out at sfbags.com for his whole line of messenger bags. A lot more to come. I can't wait to see what this design is going to look like. I bet you'll be able to come out with it in the next 45 days.
There you go. Cool. Thank you so much, Sam. That was Sam Levin with the Cool Mac Picks, always on top of all the cool iPod accessories and goodies that you need for your Mac lifestyle. You're listening to the Inside Mac Radio program. We'll be back in a few minutes with Adam Angst.
Consulting is a new service that offers troubleshooting, training, advice, and technical support to Mac users. Our expert technicians will resolve your Mac problems quickly, painlessly, and inexpensively. We guarantee it. To find out more, visit www.boblevitis.com or give us a call at 408 408- 877-627-7577. My name is Bob Dr. Mac Levitis, and I approved, wrote, and produced this message.
Macintosh for the new millennium.
This is Inside Mac.
Inside Mac.
Get on live now at 800-490-0058 or email us
at radio@insidemac.com.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by Lynda.com. Do you want the coolest training for your Macintosh? Over 11,000 titles, movies you can watch right on your Mac. Get up to speed. Check them out. Lynda, L-Y-N-D-A, Lynda.com. Right now we're joined by Adam Inks, the publisher of Tidbits and the Take Control series of PDFs, books, and all kinds of great information. How you doing, Adam?
I'm doing fine, Scott. Thanks for having me on the show.
Hey, no problem. So tell us, what's happening in the world of Adam these days? You got some new stories out on the new Tidbits about this. Let's talk about, I guess, the security deal with the Mac.
Yeah, that's been the big news for the last couple of weeks. Luckily, Apple seems to have gotten their act together and gotten a security update out fairly quickly to at least ameliorate the problem. In essence, there were a couple of ways that applications could masquerade as other things, as relatively harmless documents, and fool people into double-clicking them and then cause trouble. Not that they actually did cause trouble, but they could have. It was basically proof of concept kind of stuff. And security update 2006-001 solved that by asking for more download validation. So basically when you click on a link that Safari's not sure about, it'll ask you if you really want to do that.
Yeah, but still, I mean, really, you would...
These are not real true viruses, and these are not real high threat kind of things that we just walk onto the internet and suddenly your computer is just like explodes, you know?
No, we're talking particularly the first one, the Leap A, which actually is sort of a virus, but only sort of because it didn't actually work. that one was complete proof of concept, incredibly low risk. The second one, where you could double-click on a link in Safari, it opened the safe files option set. It could actually download and run something, and that could have been evil if it had actually been used for anything evil. But, you know, again, Apple closed that hole relatively quickly, so people don't really have to worry about it. I think more of the issue is I think Apple needs to work harder on helping the operating system educate people about what is and is not good to do. That, I mean, we're asked for our passwords so often, we click links so often, there's just nothing that a normal user is going to do to be able to think, gee, that one looked a little funny. So I think the operating system has to work a little harder at that.
Yeah, I think people should also turn on the little checkbox in the Finder about showing extensions.
Yeah, doesn't hurt.
Yeah, no. And not open anything that you just automatically download. That's another good option. Turn that all off.
Yeah.
And so when it comes down, you can actually get a second look at it.
Yep. That's the goal with a lot of these things, is just to give you that chance to see that niggling little suspicion that seemed funny and maybe I won't just do it.
Yeah. What do you think about this guy that this report out of CNET Australia, which sounds really, really sketchy, this guy putting his Mac Mini out on the network and then getting hacked in like 30 minutes. That sounds really, really sketchy.
Yeah, I have to say, I haven't seen that particular one, but most of the time that sort of thing, when it happens on the Mac side, is basically just essentially Unix stupidity. Mm-hmm. That, yes, if you turn on all your servers and set really stupid usernames and passwords, or don't have any passwords at all, then yeah, someone's going to get in, and that's going to be true of any machine that's got internet services on. Certainly, a normal Macintosh with all of the default stuff set to default, which means off, you're not going to be hacked because there's simply no way in.
Besides, you're also behind a firewall, so you would have to find. You know, normally servers are put behind a firewall, and there's port filtering, and there's this, that. And the other thing, no one just plugs their machine directly into the internet and it just expects it to just, you know, to be secure.
I do.
It is amusing when they have a Windows PC. I wouldn't trust that with, because I believe the mean time to infection is something like 18 minutes or whatnot.
I think it's in the nanoseconds personally.
Well, I said that's mean time, because some of them do go an hour. You know, you got. But seriously, you know, a lot of this stuff, it's just a little bit of common sense, and You keep the passwords good, you keep the firewall on, you stay behind a gateway, you're fine.
Adam, you've done a bunch of stuff with iPhoto, and we have the brand new iPhoto 6. You guys just reviewed it. What do you think? What's your take on the whole new iPhoto? I think, well, I won't say my opinion, but you go.
You make sure we agree first? No.
No.
iPhoto 6 is definitely a good update. Apple added a couple of nice things, most notably the full screen editing mode is kind of nice, so you can actually edit your picture at the largest size you'd be able to see on screen, which was something that really was kind of bothering people for a long time in previous versions of iPhoto. And then the other really big name thing they added was photocasting. You can share photos with people more easily from within iPhoto, and that's kind of cool. I'm still figuring out kind of how people are going to use that, because it's one of those situations where you can share with someone who doesn't have iPhoto, but they have to have a photo capable RSS reader, and so there may be a little bit too much overhead for your average person to say, hey, you want to see my pictures, go see my RSS feed, but you need to have this RSS reader. Or,
just read the script and just, you know, just like read the file. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, that's kind of cool. Then the calendars and greeting cards are nice. You've been able to print greeting cards from within iPhoto, just the standard in the print dialog box since day one, and they were the lamest possible greeting cards you could imagine.
Mm.
I mean, you could pick from single fold or double fold, and that was about it.
Now you can actually get something really nice and sort of production ready looking greeting cards.
Precisely. They're gorgeous. You know, you get a little bit of text on them. You can print postcards with all those. I mean, I actually really like the way that you can print the little lines for the address and everything. Okay, so I'm simple. But, you know, it makes it look real when you've got those little lines.
Now, one thing that I found that I really like in iPhoto is that if you shoot RAW, this is something I just discovered the other day when I was starting to play with it. If you shoot RAW and you start editing in iPhoto, converts it to a JPEG, but if you don't like your editing, like you go back and you just, you know, you've done many, many changes, there's a little option up in the menu saying reprocess RAW. So effectively, it can reset everything back to the RAW image. So the RAW image is untouched in the new iPhoto. And I found that to be incredibly useful because sometimes, you know, you go too far in your photo editing and you want to get back to what you started with.
Absolutely. And iPhoto is always good about that. It always keeps the original around, even when you're not dealing with a RAW file. But I think it's a little bit more important with RAW to keep make that obvious. The other thing that that iPhoto 6 can do now is it can save the edited RAW file as a 16-bit TIFF.
Oh, yes.
So you don't have to go all the way down to JPEG just to make an edit change.
And
there's
it has
also an option to always edit the RAW files with an external editor like Photoshop. So, you know, if you're just doing snapshots and not RAW, that's fine. Do it in iPhoto. But, you know, you hooked up your big digital SLR and you want to take RAW photos and get them into iPhoto, but you want to edit them in Photoshop. So you don't even have to do anything different. It'll just automatically know to send them over there.
And 16-bit, so that you basically don't, you're not editing an 8-bit TIFF, and you're getting the full range of the color, and that's really quite good.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, that's the thing. iPhoto is not really meant to be the high-end image editing application, but on the other hand, you don't want it messing up your high-end images.
Absolutely.
Adam, let's talk about the Take Control series. You guys just launched a brand new book called Take Control of iWeb. Tell us about it.
We did, and this is actually kind of an interesting experiment for us. The book isn't done, so we you know, it's out there, people can buy it, but it's not done. And it's just one of those things where, you know, it takes time to learn a new program and write a book about it. So we figured this is a new program. This is something that people want to know about now, and there's nothing else out there for them. Like all Apple programs, it's so easy to use, you couldn't possibly ever need any documentation, of course. That was facetious in case it didn't come through. And so what we did is that we make the book available for pre-order. When you do that, what you get is a cover, and you can click a button on the cover to check for updates, and then you can link into the draft of the book as we're writing it.
Oh, get right into the author's mind.
You can see the first quarter or so of the book right now, and it's not in PDF, it's just in your web browser, but not only can you read it, you can make comments on it.
Oh, so it's kind of like Wikipedia.
A little bit, but you know, every paragraph, basically, you can make a comment on or ask a question about, and obviously the author is reading all that stuff. And so we anticipate, you know, on the one hand, it'll be interesting for people to be able to get in there and read the whole thing, and secondly, if they just say, hey, this section doesn't make sense to me, or I'm not getting this thing when I try to use the program in this way, they can put that point in there, and then the author will be able to incorporate that into the final version. And, of course, everyone who buys now will get the final version for free when that comes out.
Yeah, and also on Friday, you released Take Control of Maintaining Your Mac, so you guys are just cranking these things out.
Yeah,
tons of great content.
Get good stuff out there. And taking control of maintaining your Mac, we have really high hopes for, because, you know, so many people, they know they should be taking better care of their Macs. You know, it's sort of like brushing your teeth. You know you should do it, and you want to do it, and if you don't do it, you're going to have some serious root canal work in your future.
That's it. Hey, Adam, hold on. We're coming up to a break, so hold on one sec. I want to hit on a couple more things, and you guys got a great deal going for .Mac members. So hang tight. You're here with Adam Manx, the publisher of Tidbits, the Take Control series, and just an all-around cool guy. Check his stuff out at tidbits.com. You're listening to the Inside Mac Radio program. We'll be right back.
Creative Planet Communities present the Digital Production Buzz.
What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. What's the buzz?
Production, post-production, distribution. What's really happening now and in your digital future? The Digital Production Buzz, live Thursday, 6 p.m. Pacific. Archives and podcast immediately after.
Coast to coast and around the world, Scott Shepherd is Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by MCE Technologies. If you need a brand new MacBook Pro, they are an Apple authorized reseller. Plus, they have all kinds of cool upgrade goodies for your other older Macs. Check them out at mcetech.com. We're here with Adam Engst, and we've been talking with Adam about some stuff going on with security in the Mac and iPhoto 6. He released a brand new book this last Friday, Take Control of Maintaining Your Mac. I think it's going to be a rocking title here, Adam.
Yeah, we're really looking for this one to do well. It just seems that there's a lot of people out there who know they should be doing stuff, but, you know, they're not quite sure what, or, you know, should they defragment, should they repair permissions, you know, what really makes a difference? And that's a lot of what Joe Kissel, who's the author of that book, goes into. And since he's written the books on upgrading the Tiger and backing up Mac OS X, you know, he's the guy who really knows what makes a difference and what doesn't.
Now, the Take Control series is basically, these are electronically published. You can buy these things for how much? And they use buy them and they download, right?
Absolutely. They're all ebooks in PDF format. They range between $5 and $15. And basically, it's just meant to be as simple and easy as possible. You know, you can run right through the order process, download, and be reading within a minute or two. And they're designed for screen reading, so none of this nonsense with, you know, having to zoom in just to see what the text is or all that. We have full bookmarks and hot links and all of that. You see a URL, you click on it, you're in your web browser at the site. So it's a lot easier than reading a physical book in some ways anyway. And of course, if you do want to print them out, that'll work too on your printer.
Now, you also have this deal going, if you're a .Mac member, you get 30 off. Is this through that you guys are putting on, or is this an actual promotion you're doing with Apple through the whole .Mac?
This is an actual promotion we're doing with Apple and .Mac. So .Mac members should be sure to go and check out the February .Mac member benefit, which is still going on. It's an excerpt from Take Control of .Mac, and two chapters from that, about 40 pages or so. 30% off every order.
That's always nice to save, you know, a few bucks there. It's cool.
Absolutely.
Also, you guys will take a bunch of these PDF ebooks. You guys put them back together, and they're actually published as a regular printed book you can get through Peach Pit.
Yep, we've done that a couple of times, and so there's Take Control of Tiger, which is our most recent one through Peach Pit still, which puts together four of our Tiger books, and a nice, you know, full-color glossy photograph-style book.
That's cool. Now, Adam, how do we find out more information about Tidbits, the books, the Take Control series, and all this kind of cool stuff you guys are doing?
And just on the web, go to www.tidbits.com for Tidbits, and there's links there, too, for Take Control, but otherwise you can go directly to www.takecontrolbook.com.
Hey, Adam, thanks for joining us. We want to make sure we get you back more often to get your overview of what's going on in the industry here, because you guys are doing all the stuff with Tidbits and always have cool, great information. So, hey, Adam, I appreciate it very much.
Anytime, Scott.
Cool. That was Adam Manx. Like you said, check his deal out at tidbits.com. You can sign up for their newsletter. The newsletter is actually like the number 2 longest-running newsletter on the web.
Wow.
I think the number 1 is like the Irish American League or something.
He did mention that on the video. I think I cut that part of the video out. He did mention it. I had to shorten it up a little bit. He was on Inside Mac TV, and I had to cut things down because it was running. I was worried about chewing up too much bandwidth.
Yeah, but, you know, Adam's always level-headed, and they always got cool stuff going on with the Mac and give you a nice independent view of what's happening. So it's pretty cool. So like I said, you can check it out at tidbits.com. And we have some cool stuff coming up here in the second hour.
Oh, yes. We got Ben Kozich coming up next for Future Media Concepts in the second hour. And we're going to be talking lots and lots about iWork, the fabulous, fabulous iWork, which I'm a huge fan of if you've listened to the show. Alan Isaguirre is going to be on. He's the Apple iWorks product manager.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about that and some more cool things. And we're going to be talking with Ben from NAB and FMC about the podcasting summit coming here at the National Association of Broadcasters Convention. We're going to be putting that on Saturday and Sunday, April 22nd and 23rd. So you can check that out at nabshow.com. And then just click on the post-production World Conference, and underneath that there's a little link that says Podcasting Summit. So we're going to find out more about that here soon. You're listening to the Inside Mac Radio program. We'll be right back.
If you want to keep up with the world of Macintosh, there's only one place that will provide everything you need to know, and always first. MacMinute.com is a leading source for up-to-the-minute Mac news. Updated 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, MacMinute has all the news and industry information weeks before the magazines. Why be the last to know when Mac news breaks? Visit MacMinute.com.
You are Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. We take a lighthearted look at all things Mac, 100% Mac all the time. Digital photography, digital video, all the cool things going on with Apple. You name it, it's here. iTunes, goodies, music.
Everything Apple.
Multipass, man. We got Multipass now on iTunes, so that's very cool stuff. Hey, this part of the Inside Mac radio program is brought to you by Creative Pro, the place to go if you want to find the coolest tip if you're a creative professional doing stuff in Photoshop, Illustrator, you know, Flash, InDesign, whatever. You can check them out at creativepro.com. So yeah, man, we got Multipass.
Yeah, you know, that's really, I think that's a great first step. I mean, you're talking about reducing the cost of, I mean, some of these shows are on quite frequently. And so rather than paying $32, you can basically just pay $10. And that's great. I mean, some of these shows like The Daily Show are great. They're fabulous. I'm hoping that one of my favorite shows gets on there, Scrubs, because I'm always missing it. Maybe even the season of 24 will get on there eventually, because I know there's some huge 24 fans out there.
I don't know. What's the name of that show? It's on Fox. It's typically after American Idol, but it's the one where the guy's a doctor and he runs a team. It's like House. House is cool. House would be great to have, too.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of good content on television. I think it's what's really interesting about this whole thing is that people are ready to watch basically VHS quality television if they can download it and watch it wherever and whenever they want to watch it. I mean, at $2 a show, that's really it's not the highest quality. We're talking, you know, for years we've been talking about this push into HDTV, and now people are going backwards into low definition television. Really interesting. It's the convenience factor that is making it the overwhelming driver in the decision making process. It'll be real interesting looking forward.
Yeah, but it's the convenience factor, you know. It's, I mean, it's great to have high def, and you have a high def TV.
Yeah.
I just got a high def gig, and
that's yours is still in the box.
Mine's still in the box, but that's another story, you know. I got a 2.5 dual G5 that's still
in the box.
Well, it's out of the box.
And 230 inch cinema displays in the box.
It's sitting on the desk with plastic over it. Ah. So I've got it out of the box, actually. It's only, you know, it's only been like a year and a half.
Year and a half it's been in the box with dual 30 inch cinema displays.
Yeah.
In the box? Out of the box.
Out of the box.
Out of the box.
They're out of the box.
They're out of the box.
they make the table bow.
They're that heavy?
Well, there's two of them. So, you know, you line the edges up and the top touches and not at the bottom.
Yeah, you can't buy those.
Put like a big piece of aluminum strip, like an inch piece of, you know, 60-61 strip across the table.
Yeah, see, you got
the monitor.
That's what happens because all the TVs now are made, I mean, all of the tables now are made of pressboard and, you know, inexpensive materials. They're not made of they're not made like they used to make tables. I basically just cut a tree log in half and put two legs on it.
Yeah, and I was looking at the table deal and I found a really cool deal. Actually, if you're going to put together an office thing that's really neat, you go to IKEA and buy big kitchen tables, big dining tables, and they're really thick, solid wood.
Oh, yeah.
They're like $150, $200, but they're big.
Mm-hmm.
They're deep, like too. 24 inches by, I don't know, 7-8 feet.
Mm.
Killer desk.
Yeah.
When you got to have, you know, a bunch of gear on it.
Yes.
You're like, make a little editing desk instead of, or you can go out and buy an editing suite desk for a couple $1,000.
And they're cheap enough. You can just drill a hole in them. Do you have your cable management or whatever you need?
That's it. Get a hole saw out and start hacking,
just,
baby.
Just a hole saw. That's right.
Yeah, whatever it takes to get that fine Mac hardware up and running.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's like this, you know, 30-inch cinema displays, you need a big table to get this thing rocking. I mean,
you do. They're big.
They're awesome. Yeah.
Two of them next to each other is daunting. You got to turn your neck. It's almost like, you know, you have to start wearing a neck brace. It's like, yes, no, yeah, well, you know. And the mouse, too. You almost need a mouse that's got like 2,000 DPI. Otherwise,
yeah,
it's like pick, drag, pick,
you need
drag,
a huge
drag
mouse pad to track your whole entire, you know, across the table. Just run it like a little hot, you know, like one of those little wind-up cars.
Yeah.
Just boom, boom, across the table. Get to the other side of that huge display. It's like a mile long.
You're listening to the Inside Mac Radio program. Next here, we're going to have Ben Kuziak. He is the president of Future Media Concepts, the post-production world NAB conference chairperson. We're going to be talking about the podcasting summit coming up here April 22nd and 23rd at the Las Vegas Convention Center. You can find out more information about at nabshow.com. We'll be right back.
Do you want to find Macintosh software updates faster? Do you want to do this without paying a yearly fee or a site bogged down with tons of advertising? Do you want your software update site to offer you a free membership featuring custom watch lists, email update notifications, custom layouts, and more? Do you want to have the latest 15 Macintosh software updates streamed to your menu bar? Now, do you really want to know who this great website is for the best Macintosh software updates on the planet? It's MacUpdate.com. Check out MacUpdate. Visit www.macupdate.com.
Macintosh for the new millennium.
This is Inside Mac.
Inside Mac.
Get on live now
at 800-490-0058.
Or email us
at radio@insidemac.com.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show was brought to you by Printing for Less, the official printer of the Inside Mac Radio program. If you need to have something printed, business cards, flyers, brochures, you name it, send them any kind of file, they'll actually make it work. Unbelievable. Good prices, quick delivery, excellent customer service. Check them out, printingforless.com. Right now we're joined by our buddy Ben Kuziak, president of Future Media Concepts, the conference chairperson for the National Association of Broadcasters, post-production world, and we're talking about a brand new gig coming this year to NAB Podcasting Summit. How you doing, Ben?
I'm doing, Scott. Good to be on the show.
Yes, thank you. So tell us, there's a podcasting summit coming.
There is. Great interest came up to us in the past, I would say, 6 months from both radio and TV broadcasters who make the audience at the NAB convention. That would really, they're either already on board, the kind of as early adopters, or they are interested in understanding what the future holds for this new medium. For many of them, it is new, even though it's been around for a while, as you know. That interest is what prompted us to put together this training conference. When we started, we just had a plan to put a couple of sessions, but then as the interest has grown, we made it into its own 2 full days of sessions.
Definitely going to be big, and I think we have pretty nice rundown and a complete coverage of the actual podcasting summit. So we'll tell them here, Ben, that Saturday, April 22nd, is basically the technology day. We're going to talk tech.
Right. Even though some may think it's simple, when you really get to do it and you want the podcast to look right, whether it is audio or video podcast, there's lots to know. We expect technical people from broadcasting organizations to send their technical crews, join the conference, and sit in technical sessions. These are basically the how-to and how to achieve the best look and sound on your podcast show.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, especially with the video side, they think that shooting a podcast means, or creating a podcast means, just repurposing TV content. And it's not that easy. You have to think a lot more in the shooting and production side of it for fitting things for the small screen and also for something that's going to be highly compressed when you send it out. So it is very important for people to get to this conference and to start learning some of these things if they're interested in it.
That is correct. Well, it's interesting that some organizations clearly say that they're not doing it yet. They're not adopting this medium, but just because of the hype that is out there or the publicity that's out there, they really want to sit in. And what is it they're missing?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. So like you said, we're going to do the deal on Saturday. We're going to start off with advanced podcasting production techniques that we're going to go into, all the things you need to know when you're actually creating these pieces of media or you're repurposing some stuff. Then we're going to get into advanced decoding for audio and video podcasting. That's where you really get into the stuff, especially the video. Mm-hmm. About encoding and how important it is for what you want to view it on and what size. You know, there's a lot of people turning out podcasts now that are just these huge monster files that don't need to be this big.
And they take 6 days to download because they just don't understand how to encode these things to make them smaller. Or
right,
even to shoot them so that they would look good even at smaller.
And it, you know, it creates a bad user experience for someone that has to download a 300 meg file.
Yes, we know some people that are putting out some huge, huge files. And if you're not on the fastest broadband connection, that can be really inconvenient.
Then we're going to be talking on podcasting delivery methods and search directories. So this is another thing, too, is, you know, anybody can create a podcast. Either it be NBC or just your local guy that's doing post-production. Maybe they want a podcast at your wedding. How do you do this stuff, though? Delivery methods and how you can do this, how the stuff's delivered in actual search directories and how you get, you know, you got a podcast going, but how do you find it? How do you get it out to your audience and marketing? And it's sort of different than marketing, but still getting the word out is a big deal. Then also on both days, we're going to have this great panel of industry experts talking about sort of what they're into, what they're doing. We're going to talk about tracking and coding. So we have two deals. Then our Sunday track is all, this is legal and business. So the first session on Sunday is going to be licensing copyright laws for podcasting. We have the number one attorney on Madison Avenue that's going to actually be giving this presentation on this whole deal with copyright laws and podcasting. That's a big deal. As an example, like, I don't know if you've even heard this, Ben, but there's some shows on Premier Radio Network. Paul Henry, I don't know if you've heard the Paul Henry show before?
No, I've not.
Okay, well, he does sort of like some comedy skit stuff where it sounds like other callers are calling him, but it's really him doing this goofy show. Even Art Bell, After Dark radio program, 500 affiliates, they actually stripped their bumper music out for the podcast because of licensing issues. Now, these guys are a huge broadcast network, and they pull out their bumper music because of copyright and licensing laws. So this is stuff that even broadcasters don't really know about, because even though you're covered by ASCAP and BMI and all the stuff that a radio station normally deals with for broadcast, it doesn't pertain to podcasting. So that's going to be a great session. Then Podcast It, New Revenues from Existing Content. We're going to have the legendary David Lawrence. David does the David Lawrence Show and Online Tonight. Been a broadcaster for 30 years. David's going to talk about how to create revenue from your existing content. Great stuff there. Then we're having another session on audience metrics and measurement. So here's another deal on how do you measure what your podcast is doing. Advertisers want to see metrics, and a lot of advertisers now from these big Madison Avenue firms are trying to put podcasting in a view of, you know, this is like the web, and it's not really like the web. You can't click this stuff like you can click a click-through on a website unless you have intrusive software that reports back from the user to the client server that tells him, yes, he listened to it, yes, he watched it. So this is a big issue, too.
Yeah, because that goes into privacy. I don't think anybody wants big... What the internet's all about is people want to stay anonymous, and that might be too intrusive for people to handle.
Yep, and then our last session before our panel on Sunday is Marketing Your Podcast, another great session about how to market your stuff, how to create a buzz around what's going on and take your content. Let's say you're a television station in Albuquerque and you got a great cooking show that's local to your station about Southwestern cooking. Mm-hmm. Well, now you can take a local show like that, but make it worldwide. How do you market my Southwestern cooking show? So there's a lot of things that broadcasters are really going to be into. So this whole conference is made and geared towards broadcasters. But if you're just a post-production guy or you're a post-production house and you want to create podcasts for, let's say, your local church or whatever, all this stuff pertains to doing a small type of deal, independent, all the way to, you know, big network.
Yeah.
So, Ben, where can we find out more information about the NAV show? I know there's some deals going on. You can actually bundle this with post-production world. Tell us about this stuff real quick.
Yeah, a lot's going on in Vegas, but we're trying to make it simple. Those who attend the Post-Production World Conference, which is 220 sessions on everything post-production, also get to sit in the two-day podcasting conference for the same cost. Those who do not attend Post-Production World Conference can buy their own ticket to the two-day conference, and all information exists on the main NABShow.com website.
Yeah, that's a great deal. Now, let's hit on some other things real quick. Well, we have about 30 seconds, so Ben, give us your address. Now, you run FMC that does training worldwide, but you have a lot of locations on the East Coast. Tell our listeners how they get a hold of actual FMC and Ben yourself.
Yeah, some people looking for more intense and focused training, 2-3-day classes on anything post-production, and that's what we do year-round in 6 locations along the East Coast: Boston, New York, Philadelphia, Washington, D.C., Miami, and Orlando.
Hey, Ben, hold that thought for 1 second. We'll be right back. You're here with Ben Kojak from FMC.
Thanks so much for listening to Inside Mac Radio. Isn't this great? Hey, it's David Lawrence, and I'd love if you would listen to my podcasts as well. I've got two of them. One is a podcast for my countdown show, the Net Music Countdown. You can get it at feeds.feedburner.com/NMC. And then I have a second one for those of you that listen online tonight or the David Lawrence Show. We've got the nightly podcast, and that you can pick up at feeds.feedburner.com/PN. So there's two of them for you. And now, back to more of Inside Mac Radio.
Informal. Informative.
In front of the industry.
Inside Mac is on. Call Scott now at 800-490-0058 or email us at radio@insidemac.com. Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by the digital production buzz of Philip Hodges. You can check him out at digitalproductionbuzz.com. So, you went into an Apple store where? The one at Valley Fair?
Yes, the one in Valley Fair out here.
The Valley Fair store, and then you did some impromptu audio testing with a sound pressure meter.
Yeah, I kind of snuck in with my iPod, and I put a few test tones on my iPod. I wanted to measure the bass range of all of the different devices that they sell, speaker systems that they sell for the iPod. And I was surprised I didn't get thrown out of the store for this, because these test tones can run pretty loud. So I went to all the different devices that they sell, that they make for the iPod, that play out music. What I found pretty quickly was that most of them do not produce bass range in any appreciable level. They usually start basically saying, well, bass is, if you think about it this way, is that bass is something that you can really hear from about 40 to 50 hertz somewhere for some people that have really low hearing,
right?
All the way up to about, I would say, let's just, I use about 80 as a good reference measurement. I'm sure other people would put it up higher, but for me, I just say about 80 to 90, somewhere in there. So I ran this wave sweep across the across all these different devices to measure it. So it sweeps from, I can even start lower. Mine starts at about 20, so I swept it all the way back up to 80. And the only device that basically had, or the device that had the lowest bass, was clearly the iPod Hi-Fi. It was clearly the one that really, really put out the bass. I mean, it had not only just better bass, but it had very flat bass in that range with my sound pressure meter.
Right.
I saw that about 50, when that bass started kicking in, about 50 hertz up to about 80, it was just tremendously flat and just really, really solid, just like a flat line right up to 80. And none of the other devices do that. The other devices that they sell, like the Bose and the Klipsch and all of these other Altec Lansing speaker systems, they all vibrate. And that's going to basically create harmonics and defeat what you're actually trying to produce. I mean, if you think about it, a music box or an audio system is nothing more than an engine. You know, they make good engines and they make bad engines, and some engines are underpowered. But basically what this engine is doing is it's pushing air. It's moving air and it's creating sound, you know, waves in the air that you hear out as sound. And clearly to do bass, you need a lot of power. You're making big waves and you're moving a lot of air. And I couldn't really find anything that did it nearly as well as the iPod Hi-Fi. And it was really validated when I listened to things like jazz and some rock or something's with deep bass, and you can really hear it with the iPod Hi-Fi. I mean, it really, really sounds like nothing else in that bass range.
That's very interesting. I mean, Apple put a lot of research into the speaker system, and I think the way the components are actually assembled, they're probably ultrasonically welded, the plastic components.
They use some very good technology. I mean, for that, I mean, it's kind of a misnomer to think that this thing could replace your entire audio system. It's just too small of a device. But for that size package and the amount of power that it puts out, the amount of raw power, especially in the bass range, that push that it puts out, it really is pretty amazing what they've done. I've never heard anything that could really do that. It's really fantastic.
Yeah, and I think for a lot of people, this can replace or could be their speaker system, you know, their home stereo, because
some people are just not that well built, yeah.
Well, some people don't turn the music up that high.
Yeah.
So they don't need, this huge monster deal with these big gigantic speakers, and they're maybe in a college dorm or an apartment.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would work well.
Oh, I think it's a great product. It's definitely worth looking
into. If you got a big house,
into.
You definitely need a Marshall stacks and watts of preamps.
You need some pretty serious equipment to fill a big room. But a small room, I think this is a great system.
Want to listen to my music at 125 decibels. I'll be happy. You're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. Next up here, we have a very special treat. We have Apple Computer. We're talking about iWork.
The Computer History Museum in Mountain View, California, is home to the world's largest collection of computer-related artifacts, including rare and one-of-a-kind objects such as the Apple I, the 20th anniversary Mac, and the Palm Pilot prototype. For tours and events or more information, please visit www.computerhistory.org or call 650-810-1010.
Are you ready to unleash the power of DVD? With DVD XDV, the power is within your grasp. DVD XDV converts your DVDs into broadcast quality video. Video clips from DVD XDV are ready to use in iMovie, iDVD, or Final Cut Pro. To learn more, visit DVDXDV.com.
Momentum for your Macintosh.
Scott Shepard
is Inside Mac.
You wish to leave a record of your call.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by OS X FAQ. If you want the coolest tips for Mac OS X, Mac OS X Unix, find out all the cool stuff going down with the Apple Worldwide Developer Conference, you name it, anything you need from the Mac industry, the world, all on OSXFAQ.com. Right now, we're joined by Alan Azagari. He is the man from Apple. He's in charge of iWork 06. We're bringing Alan on today to talk about, of course, iWork 06. How you doing, Alan?
Oh, doing pretty good over here in sunny Cupertino.
It's a beautiful day out, isn't it?
It's such a nice day.
It is quite nice.
After all this nasty rain, it's finally go out and soak up some radiation.
Yeah. Go burn that skin off.
Yeah. Alan,
get some tumas.
You guys released iWork 06 at Macworld.
Yep.
Tell us about it. This includes two pieces of software, and I'll let you sort of tell us to our listeners, but let's give us a rundown on iWork 06.
Sure. iWork 06 includes the latest revision of Pages, which is our word processing application, which has some amazing page layout features as well, and Keynote, which is basically the cinema quality presentation tool of choice around here. Both of these applications also have a bunch of great shared features that we might want to talk about first. Basically, what we tried to do is make sure that both of these applications work in the same way. We did that in iWork 05.
As I understand it, actually, Pages came out of some of the technology that was created with Keynote. Is that correct?
Actually, they share a lot of similar infrastructure. With Keynote, we innovated with this amazing graphics canvas that fully leveraged OS X and all the Quartz technology. I don't know if you've noticed, but the type just looks incredible. And when you bring in an image, it's downsampled to...
Doesn't have that nasty PowerPoint, jagged, edgy, ugly text to it at all.
Exactly, yeah. No jaggies here. And also, you know, a lot of the transitions and effects are just beautiful. They look, you know, well, the goal that we had in mind was cinematic, and I think we reached that goal back even in Keynote 1.0 days.
And actually, the origin of Keynote was actually for Steve Jobs' keynotes.
Well, you know, that is kind of where it started. we definitely had a qualified customer there.
He's a pretty tough customer.
But he's a great customer, too. And what's really great about Keynote is now anyone can use all that incredible power for their presentations. Just funny to, you know, be on the road talking about this stuff and people come up and tell me about how, you know, after they give their presentation, people ask them more about what they used to build a presentation than what they were actually talking about. So I'm sorry about that, but I'm glad people are enjoying it out
there. Yes, Keynote can be a better presenter than you are. Is that too? Can out-present you. The slides can outdo you as a presenter. It's great.
And, you know, that's a pretty tough thing to do.
Yeah, it's great. I've been using Keynote quite a bit, and one of the things that I like about Keynote is its incredible way of building in or creating animation by fading in objects and by flying text in and all of those beautiful sort of elements that just are there, built right into the application.
Well, one of the things we tried to do there was just make it as interactive as possible. You know, you don't want to be working in a modal dialog box to do these special effects. You want to be working on your canvas and have direct access to these advanced animation controls. So we put them off in an inspector, which is available at any time. And that way you could just focus on your slides, focus on your content, rather than figuring out how to use the program, which is really kind of great.
Tell us, Alan, about some of the other cool things you guys rolled into with iWork. Now, I know we got a bunch of new additions with Keynote.
Yep.
But tell us about Pages. You guys added a bunch of even more cool things to the 06 version.
Yeah, we added a bunch of things to Pages as well. Maybe we should start with some of the things that we added to both applications.
Sure.
I think some of those are the coolest. I mean, one of the most dramatic new effects is three-dimensional charts. And you probably saw those in the Macworld keynote this January. But it's just amazing. You can bring out these charts, and the textures were exquisitely designed. And you can basically grab a chart, you know, rotate it to your heart's desire, and it updates in real time. Of course, you can assign animations to the charts, so you know, these build per series or per row, depending on how you want to talk about your data. But it really adds a lot of drama to, you know, the most simple-looking chart, and it's a nice way to keep your audience engaged in your message.
Yeah, I think those things really do help. I like the idea of the build-in, just that beautiful build-in that's integrated into it, and all the different ways an object can be built in. You know, it's just appear on the screen. It doesn't just, like, you normally people might flip through, like, five slides to get that same type of effect, but you can all do this in one slide that all just comes together beautifully.
And I think to that point, what we wanted to do, one of the innovations with 3D charts is that we wanted them to work like 2D charts. So if you already have been using a chart feature, it should be extremely familiar. It's not like you have to learn how to use some CAD program.
Mm-hmm.
It's just incredibly intuitive. Give it a try. It's really a lot of fun. And
mm-hmm.
it definitely enhances any data presentation. And speaking of graphic, we couldn't help ourselves. We added a bunch of advanced image editing features. So we borrowed from iPhoto their image adjustment panel. So now you can just adjust any image on the fly.
Yes, I have used that. It is very, very nice because sometimes you need to tweak a photo that you bring in to match the background a little bit better. Or work a little bit better in the presentation. I mean, we've talked about this a little bit on the show, but just that you don't want to go back in and go back into iPhoto. You can just do it right in your presentation. Very nice.
It's always fun to borrow.
Yes, it's really
but,
nice.
But, you know, it's great that it's right there for you. And then we added, of course, some additional functionality like the image reflections. I mean, you've probably seen this in other Apple products recently, like Front Row. And
just about everyone.
Yeah, we like the effect so much, we built it into our applications. Now you can pretty much select any image you want and add it either in Keynote or Pages, and it's just beautiful. Of course, you can control that. And then finally, just because we couldn't let up on graphics, we've added a bunch of new shapes, but notably, we've added freeform shapes. That is, you can create shapes using Bezier curves, which, you know, should be familiar if you've used Illustrator or Freehand in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And what's even more amazing is that you can use these shapes to create image masks. So, for example, you could create a custom shape and then, you know, grab any image and select both of them and all of a sudden have a mask. And it just lets you do all sorts of new things that you haven't been able to do in the past. And definitely at a level of quality that you just wouldn't expect from a word processor or a presentation.
It's one of these applications that just you start playing around with and you find out you can do more and more things with it. And it just keeps building on it. It's just... You get into it. I especially like Pages because it allows you that flexibility to sort of move the type in anywhere you want it. It just sort of, and the pictures can go anywhere and the text can flow around the type. It's not complicated or complex like you need a massive manual to work through. You can just kind of grab it and just start moving things around and just sort of discover things and how they work.
It's, you know, one of our goals was to keep everybody up late at night playing around
you did
with their graphics.
You know, that's a problem with this stuff. You know, you grab motion and you play with it and pretty soon like 12 hours is gone.
Oh, yeah. No, it's
the same thing with this stuff too. Now, Alan, what documents can I import or open it? Let's say if I've saved something in Word or someone sends me a Word doc, I can open this in Pages too and be able to modify or communicate back and forth with the guys running the Windows stuff.
Yep, you totally can. In fact, if you go to the Finder and choose Get Info on a Word file, you can say Open with Pages, and by default, it'll just launch Pages for you. And, you know, for, I'd say, most documents, you're going to have some pretty good importing results. We've optimized for Word documents that are in a page flow, you know, i.e. a large flow of text, but you can also bring in some of the layout elements from Word.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, you can do so much more with Pages. So on the export side, exporting back to Word, if you go and create some beautiful newsletter in Pages, of course, we're going to
get
some of,
truncated pretty badly.
Yeah, step some of that down. I mean, I'm actually kind of impressed with how well it does work.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, that's amazing. You know, of course, the images don't look as good and whatnot, but it's it definitely tries to import and export Word documents.
Mm.
And I would say more than tries. I think it does a damn good job.
Now, what I really think would be amazing is to keep going along with that and to go take Pages to something even more towards electronic publishing like iWeb. But just with, you know, iWeb is somewhat limiting, but Pages just has this great interface. It could just do so much on the web. Is that something that, am I missing it? Can it do really good web pages as well?
Well, what I think the best way to have Pages work with iWeb is use Pages to create a PDF file, which it does a really great job of, and then attach that PDF file to your iWeb document.
Alan, we're coming up to a break. Can you hold on for a few seconds so we can finish this up? You're here with Alan Azagiri from Apple Computer. We've been talking about iWork 06. You're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. Stay tuned. We're going to go back with Alan and finish up our little talk about iWork. We'll be right back. You want to learn all the great software on your Macintosh and get up to speed instantly? Well, you need to check out Lynda.com. Lynda.com is an educational website that offers online movie training 24/7 on Flash, Photoshop, Dreamweaver, Illustrator, After Effects, and 160 other topics. Subscribe and learn from over 11,000 tutorials for as low as $25 a month. Visit Lynda, that's Lynda.com, to check out hundreds of free sample training movies and more.
Inside your life,
business,
your home,
inside
your world. This is Inside Mac with Scott Shepard.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio show. We take a lighthearted look at all things Macintosh, and right now we're talking about iWork 06. We're here with Alan Azagiri from Apple Computer, and we've been talking about all the cool new things in Pages and Keynote and all this great stuff. Now, Alan, is there a upgrade path from an old version? Is there an outright purchase? What's the best way for someone to get the new iWork 06 and get the new version of Keynote and Pages?
Well, the best way is to buy it for $79 via Apple retail or online stores or your favorite Apple retailer. We do have a maintenance program, but that's probably not what everybody's looking for right now.
Yeah, it's quite a bargain when you see the power and what these applications can do. I've done things with text, and I usually traditionally in passive make flyers in with text in Illustrator. And one of the things that's so strong about Pages is its ability to shape text in different ways and different forms at an incredibly low price. Is that something, I mean, that's going to continue to evolve? Are you guys looking more into that type of further layout technology of moving in text? Well, you know, is this something that Pages is going to keep working with, is to, you know, further improve and further, you know, enhance the ways of text manipulation? Is that kind of a goal for you guys?
Oh, yeah. We're definitely thinking a lot more about Pages, and it's amazing to see how much feedback we got after iWork 06. It's interesting because there's definitely two camps. There's camps that want us to include even more functionality and even, you know, more ability to refine your text in new ways. And then other people want it to be even more simple than it is right now. So, you know, we're taking a big step back right now to think about what's the best way to serve both of those customers. But I think if you take a look at Pages now, it inspires people to try something simple. And if you're familiar with other page layout type programs, you know, it's amazing what people try to do and are quite successful with it.
Well, it's amazing. I mean, we made some flyers up
for Macworld,
and we did the actual flyer in iWork in Pages.
Uh-huh.
Had this printed by Printing for Less on an offset press.
Yep.
Unbelievable.
The best thing I've ever, I mean, I did those flyers, and it was just the best experience that I've ever had with really a piece of page layout software. It was smooth. It was flawless. It was easy to figure out how to do these things.
It worked great. I mean, basically, we just did, you know, Brad did an iWork, saved it as a PDF, and I emailed it off to Printing for Less, and like a week later, we had thousands of these color flyers made. Beautiful.
Well, you should send one over. I'd love to take a look at it.
Yeah, we were. I'll bring some over when I come to
campus. That was our goal, you know? I mean, PDF is just an amazing format, and you know, we wanted to basically make Pages the easiest way to create great-looking PDF files.
Well, yeah, I mean, normally before you'd have to create something in some other image program or some other type deal or Quark and then export it as a special press-ready PDF with all this other garbage with it.
Yep.
We just made the thing in iWork, and it was like, bang, and Pages, save, email, done.
And it didn't cost thousands of dollars for the software to do it. I mean, you've got, you know, I think that almost people don't take iLife serious because it doesn't cost thousands of dollars,
right?
You know, and they don't understand just how powerful this application
is. Yeah, I think you can tell we like it, though.
We really love it. You just say, I'm an avid user of this software, because I've never really found anything that just goes as far as Pages does.
No.
Well, that's great to hear. And, you know, I agree with you that $79 is just an amazing price for all this functionality. And what we basically want to do is just show unique value for the Mac platform.
Yep, it's great stuff. Hey, Alan, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it. That was Alan Azagiri. You can check all their stuff out at www.apple.com/iWork. Really cool software. We use it. We've been using the stuff. We've been using Keynote in our videos. Mm-hmm. I mean, just great, great stuff for $79. You know, you might as well just buy a pack for everybody because, well, it's another benefit of owning a Mac. You've been listening to the Inside Mac Radio program. I'd like to thank our guests today. We had Philip Hodges, Andy Shallett, Sam Levin, Adam Inks, Ben Kuzek, Alan Azagari from Apple. All kinds of great stuff. Check it out at www.insidemacradio.com. We'll be back with you next week with more cool things about your Mac.